The Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 6:06 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here's who we are and what we do. Each and every single Saturday, right here on News 104.5 WOKV, I'm joined by the big guy.
That's me.
Sasquatch, the Yeti, 6 foot six, 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector. You've seen me on HGTV as the house detective, and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, from Home Pro Inspections, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, old Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, we mix it up in the middle. But what makes this show fun for us is you, your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. Here comes that number, and it is toll-free from everywhere in North America, whether you're listening at News 104.5 WOKV on your radio, you're using the WOKV app, any other streaming service, and especially our friends from all over the country, watching the live video stream on Facebook at the Home Pro Inspection site. Here is that number, 855-765-1045. Happy to have you start dialing. Hello, sir.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
Well, I am living the dream. Okay. I had the glorious opportunity to... I spent, let's see here, 7 hours with 60 of the most incredible real estate agents in Palm Coast.
Oh, great.
Yeah, the Flagler Board of Realtors, wonderful group of people. Dorothy down there, I've probably known for 20 years, mm-hmm. runs the board. Anyway, they invited me down, and we did a 4-hour program called Residential Construction from the Inside Out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an interesting thing in the purchase and sale world in real estate. Virtually every home builder has a site agent, someone who sits at that model, mm-hmm. you know, model homes in the communities in which they're actively building. And those people are subject matter experts on their particular models, you know, the homes that they're in. They're a little bit like in a new car dealership. There's no one that knows more about those models than that new car dealer. That's their expertise.
Right.
Well, the general service real estate agent, you know, from, you know, the names and the companies we would all know, they are not subject matter experts in those individual houses, rather in the collection of houses.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were talking about with these 60 or so general real estate agents from Palm Coast was how the interaction between the general real estate agent interacts with the site agent so they could better understand how to well care to the customer.
Right.
Sometimes it's adversarial. I mean, here's what happens. The site agent, who knows everything there is to know about their neighborhood, the community, the amenities in that particular home, any available upgrades, they know everything. They do. The general agent knows a whole lot about the customer because they've spent time looking in different old houses and new houses in different communities. And the general real estate agent is sometimes possessive, so the site agent, they get a little uncomfortable with that. So what we talked about... It's just a weird, you know, in a sense, they ideally are representing the same thing, and that should be the best interest of the customer to understand the various choices.
Sure.
But sometimes it goes a little sideways, to be honest. So we spent 4 hours sharing the ins and outs of residential construction to make it easier for those two groups to get along so that the customer feels well served and makes the right best choice moving forward. So it was really fun, and we got done that. That was 4 hours.
4 hours.
4 hours on stage.
Did they buy you lunch?
I didn't have time for lunch.
Oh, wow.
Did 4 hours.
No lunch.
Did 4 hours in presentation doing that. We took about a 5-minute break, and then we did an hour on some really creative pre-listing programs. And then we did an hour on business development for real estate agents. I did 6 hours stand-up.
Wow.
It's pretty incredible.
So your voice probably needed a rest after that.
A lot of me needed a rest. So I took a rest, had a little piece of pizza, then I did another event with a group of home inspectors.
Wow.
I like sharing ideas.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you this, and it's the same thing for you and I here on the radio. We share a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
but we learn a lot of things. You know, between what happens with the callers and what inputs do we get, you know, from the online streams. And the other thing, man, I didn't know that before. So it's like each time we share a thought together, more thoughts come back into our universe, and we'll be smarter next week than we were last week.
Absolutely. We try to improve every week.
Absolutely. So what's exciting in your week?
Hey, we're going on through a lot of changes. You know, of course, the weather's going to be cold. You know, I just want to bring up also there's going to be the orchid show at the Cummer Museum, the Women's Garden Club.
It's the Women's Garden Club.
The Women's Garden Club
of Jacksonville.
Yes.
Those are three separate things. There's the Cummer Museum.
Next was the Women's Club,
which is now an empty lot.
Right.
Now it's the Garden Club. It's the Garden Club of Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's across the street.
Perfect.
Yes. So that's going to be happening. So get some, they're great deals and it's free. So go on down there and get yourself some favorite orchids for you.
Today as well as tomorrow. You know, even if you don't purchase anything, it's a gorgeous show.
Very. I'm going to buy something. And then, you know, we're talking about hydrangeas. Hydrangeas have always been an all-time favorite. Everybody loves them because of that blue color, which is very unusual in the flower world where you get a really blue, or they come in that magenta color.
I have blue eyes.
And you do? Okay. I never noticed. But
take a look on the video screen.
But some of the things people do wrong when they're planting hydrangeas, I have a lot of people complain. You know, I was doing a landscape for a fellow, and he says, you know, I've tried them. I had another person tried hydrangeas. They're great shrubbery. They're deciduous. Some of the things that are, you know, some people may not like about them, but they do produce a good amount of flowers. And then plus, with the new hybrids, which are remotant, which means they're reflowering. Previously, they only flowered one time, and that was it. And you know, just like azaleas, but now they reflower continuously all season long. But one of the biggest mistakes people do when they're planting is not paying attention to the soil. Because, you know, we have sandy soil, and we explained that sand does not hold on to the water. It's the organic material that holds the water there, and hydrangea being its namesake, water, likes water, or moist soil, you've got to do something about the soil. And, what I normally do when I'm planting hydrangeas on sandy ridges, and, people say, I've tried them 14 times. Well, we bring in topsoil, or make your own soil, augment the soil before you're planting.
How deep do you need to go?
You need to go to about maybe 2 feet. If you want to make that extra effort, a foot, there's an A and B in anything.
Well, is that the same, would you say, as augmenting the soil when we hear the term augment the soil?
Yes.
Okay.
But, fill there with black cow, with topsoil, planting mix, mix it in there, get it rich. And then, the hydrangea is going to benefit from that on the long term. So get your plant planted in there, get it watered. You know, the first year it may wilt a little bit during the high heat, but just a little bit of additional water. The longer it gets established, the less wilting is going to be. If you have a hydrangea that you like to have hydrangeas in a more sunny area, you know, I've realized after looking at hundreds of hydrangeas, thousands of hydrangeas in the field, that the ones with the thick cuticle on their leaf are the more heat resistant. And what I mean by cuticle is they're going to feel more waxy. And when you touch the leaf, it's going to be thick. It's going to have like a waxy coat. That reduces the amount of
evaporation.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
The leaves that are thinner, they're going to have less cuticle and they're going to evaporate. So there's a little bit of difference between every cultivar that you can get, you know. Another thing is about mistakes that people make about hydrangeas is the fertilizer. They think that Miracle-Gro rose fertilizer or some super blooming fertilizer or any of those ones that promote flower growth are the ones that you want to put on your hydrangea, and they're disappointed because they don't get those big billowy blooms. And what you have to consider is that the flower of a hydrangea is in the middle of those colorful bracts. They're modified leaves. And so you want to make sure the hydrangea gets plenty of nitrogen. Nitrogen is what really gets those great hydrangea blooms. So when you're putting on your fertilizer, you want to make sure that you purchase fertilizer. When you look at the NPK, is the first number on your fertilizer is higher than the other ones, and you're going to get a better bloom. And then putting a little bit of compost on mid-season, when they're reblooming, it will give it a little more energy. Now, there's another hydrangea. There's all different kinds. There's oak leaf hydrangea, which is a great large growing plant, blooms midsummer, 4 to 5 feet. They have some dwarfs. That's another wonderful hydrangea, good fall color. Make a hedge out of that. Then there's hydrangea paniculata. This is a hydrangea that will actually grow in the sun. White flowers, midsummer. So it's going to bloom when all the other hydrangeas are pretty much getting tired. This one really starts
a little later blooming.
Starts blooming. So there's a great selection of hydrangeas. And then if you like to have a hydrangea garden, you know, and many people do, they make great cut flowers. You know, spend a little time looking at the conditions in your landscape, discover what you have available, and then match the type of hydrangea that you have. For instance, you have a woodland garden and it's shady, you know, an oak leaf hydrangea would do ideally there. And they have that great fall color too, so that would add another season of interest. So when you're planting is so much, you know, part of a good gardening or anything else you do.
Sure.
You know, so those are some great ideas with hydrangea if you want to get something started.
Is
going on right now.
The planting of that initial placement of the plant into the ground is fundamentally like the foundation of the home.
Yes, exactly.
Don't get that baby in there correctly. Don't get the hole the right size, the right, you know, the right depth, the right width, the right augmentation of the soil, teasing of the root ball. If foundationally your plant is off to a bad start,
right,
it's no different than having your footer all boogered up while you're
got to get a home inspection as a process build as you're building out your house. You know what I mean? You want to make sure it's done properly. Those type of things.
And it's always more difficult to get things right later.
Right. Always. You know, I had a client called today. I dealt, you know, did his landscape plan for him 5 years ago, and he said, "Man, Larry, I'll tell you, it was definitely worth the money to have a landscape plan." Yeah. I tell you, I've had this landscape installed, been in place for 5 years. It looks beautiful. Neighbors always complimented me about it. He actually did the work himself. But if you're, you know, spending the money like you're buying a house, you want to have, you know, you're spending a $300,000 investment, you want to definitely have someone look at it that is a professional, right? You know, I mean, $300,000, $400,000 house, you just don't want to walk through it. Oh, I'll take it. You know, you spend more time looking at a car, trying to figure out whether the car is good when you spend looking at a house, you know. But, you know, having a good plan is very important. And he actually complimented me on the selection of grass. He said that the zoysia that he planted, you know, going for the zoysia grass, I think we put in the small dwarf, the dwarf growing. He says he's only mowing his lawn around 2 to 3 times a week.
Nice.
And wanted to get it going, asked me what would be the best thing. He's getting ready to sell his house, and he wants to make sure the landscape is going good. But, you know, the planning of a garden is good. So even if you're going to do it yourself, I know everybody's out there right now, go to Lowe's, Home Depot on the weekend, got to stand in line for 30 minutes to get through the garden center. But writing down what you'd like to do, reviewing it, look at all the plants. You know, if you, like I say, you're planting hydrangea, you want to review the types, the height of them. You know, make sure you have the terminal height in front of you.
That's a mistake people make constantly with all plants. They plant the plant based on its size and appearance at the time they plant
it's
it,
a,
not
appeal.
At maturity.
Right, and exactly. And then whether or not you want to do the lot of maintenance or pruning is another
sure.
thing you want to do.
Absolutely.
Look at it.
It's 6:20 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Taking a brief break, then jumping right on the phones to your calls. Here is that number, 855-765-1045. And for all of those who have joined us on the Facebook stream at Home Pro Inspections, you can put your pictures and your comments right there in the stream, or 855-765-1045. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show on News 104.5. It is 6:25. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here with me. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Enjoying the day together, taking your calls at 855-765-1045. You know, this nice weather coming our way.
And yeah.
Less and less use of the fireplace as each passing day goes on. And somewhere there's a line in the sand where you say, you know what? I'm not using my fireplace the rest of the year.
And yeah, is that one around 98 degrees?
But here's the funny thing about that. Just as this season is coming where, oh, good, we can open the windows.
Right.
Which is a positive. Mm-hmm. That also creates a draft path so that your house is breathing through your chimney. Mm-hmm. So sometimes in an effort to bring fresh air into the house, we're actually bringing stinky air into the house from the fireplace, which is a good reminder as a piece of your spring cleaning.
So it drafts out through the door, sucks down.
It sucks right down the flue, mm-hmm. Which is essentially a good thing.
Right.
Except if it's dirty, then it smells like, you know, bird poo and ash and all the other bad stuff. So it's that time of year to think about spring cleaning of your chimney. Our friends at Chimney Champions take wonderful care of that. We've noticed also that a lot of people who report various allergies and breathing problems in their home, we often discover the sources, the stank, what live in the chimney flue, because it gets nasty in there. The majority of people in our area have never cleaned the chimney.
Yeah,
so
I can believe that.
No, they say, well, I never use it. Well, that makes it even stinkier because you end up with bird droppings and dead bugs and lizards and yak and this thing and that thing and the other thing. And it all kind of ferments and rots and gets moldy. You wouldn't believe the crud that I see people have.
Do you put a screen on there to filter out that stuff?
Well, there's a yes in one sense. You should have a screen that goes on the top. You know, it's amazing, too, how many folks don't have a chimney cap with a screen around it. But that'll keep the big pieces out, and that's a good thing. But if not a screen so fine that it would be a filter.
Okay.
Those are actually how that screening is done, I would say regulated. Almost regulated. The Chimney Safety Institute, and then for pre-manufactured, there's a particular size opening that's the right size, which is the blend.
Those hot ashes.
Well, you actually don't want to let the ashes. So it's a fire screen, so we don't want ashes coming out, hot embers coming out, and you don't want crap going in.
Right.
So that makes that size rather particular. Mm. And interestingly, it's regulated different in California than it is here.
Oh, really. California, yeah.
Just like everything else.
You can't even have wood shingle roof.
Yeah, wood shingle roofs, fireplaces, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of crazy things that happen in California.
Oh, yeah, because they're burning down all the time.
But nonetheless, ChimneyChampions.com and get that baby done. It's funny because people typically wait till September, October and go to do it, and then you got to wait in line and do all the other things. But now's the time to keep the home smelling good, feeling good, fresh, safe, no critters. Also, we're not that far away from bird nesting season. Here is a situation you do not want to
be in. Heard about this morning.
Absolutely. You want to assure the fireplace is cleaned out, and you have a proper screen at the top before the birds go in there. Some of those species are endangered and protected species, and you can't remove them once they're in there.
Oh, no.
Not a pleasant experience. So you put yourself in a situation, shall I break federal law, or shall I hang out with this mess for another month? Truth of it is, most people don't know the law, so they break the law, but it's not a good thing.
Right.
Plus, it really is a bad sight for the kids and all that to see the dead baby birds, and yeah, you killed the bird. So avoid that, ChimneyChampions.com. It's 6:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. It is 6:35 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, along with Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. Love to hear what you're doing this particular weekend in your home or around your lawn, garden, and whatnot on the exterior. Happy to help share our experiences here on what might be a reasonable path for your planner project to avoid problems, select the right materials, maybe even choose a contractor if we can help you with that. If the contractor that you're interested in is a landscaping contractor. Larry can help you with that personally and individually. Larry'sGarden.com. Got the blog, video, frequently asked questions. Also has the telephone. That is 346-1970. If prior to taking on that project, you're curious, might this project get larger once I dig into it? The preventative on that is a complete home inspection. It helps you get everything on that honey-do list so that prior to the contractor's beginning or you even beginning yourself, if it's a do-it-yourself or project, we can get all those things on the list that you might want to consider. One of the things we've learned in the real estate universe is there are never good surprises in a renovation project.
No.
So you know.
But you got to expect them. You know, when you're doing renovation, you got to expect them.
Absolutely, and we can reduce, never eliminate, reduce the number of surprises with a really aggressive home inspection using infrared cameras and drones and digital borescopes and everything. So the only things that should surprise you,
yes,
and we even try to minimize those, is what's going on inside walls. But with the infrared, we can even reduce that quite a bit.
Yes. So, yeah. And your scope, you got that scope you can stick up there. And
digital borescope, absolutely.
You need to bring that in one time, show us how it works.
I think I will.
Yeah. Hey, you know, a lot of times in the spring, people love to get out there and doing the work in the garden. And, you know, of course, when this is going on like this right now, you're going to have to, you know, get on the flowering portion of your vegetable garden and your herb garden. And what I got it here is a lot of people want to have that butterfly or the hummingbirds going on.
I like that.
Going on in there. And fennel is a great plant to plant. It's, you know, you can use it for your attract your butterflies. And also it has a beautiful flower. And another one is... what is it? Chives is another great one. You know, and a lot of people have those on their... Do you have those on your windowsill?
I do. I have both of those.
It's a great butterfly plant, and it provides pollen, and also it's a food plant for the for the caterpillars. Let me see. Another great one is going to be dill. Dill's another one. Dill's another great one with flowers. Great butterfly plant for, you know, a food type. You know, when you're trying to figure out a butterfly plants, what our butterfly plants are, that, you know, they have the pollen, the nectar, and also the food plant for the caterpillar. So those are some that will do really well. And then salvia is a great one, too. You know, so any salvias that you see at any Lowe's or Home Depot are going to produce that effect that you want as far as attracting even hummingbirds. And one salvia that I planted last year that did unbelievably well, I planted like 300 of them in one location. Uh-huh. And it was Salvia Misty. It's a new one. In fact, if you see it, it's a new hybrid of Mystic Spires. If you see it at the Home Depot or Lowe's, definitely get some. Because one of the great things about this salvia is its compact growth. And a lot of salvias, you know, they look great in the spring. They have produced a lot of flowers. Because of our long growing season, they're going to flop over. They'll start to look tattered. And well, this one is around 20 to 35% less vigorous. And so it stays nice and compact and then produces the flowers all summer long. You know, when we have
is that the heat that wears it out over time or just the actual growing?
It's just the extended growth, yeah. You know, because it just keeps growing, you know, because we have, you know, 9 months of summer. But this one is 25% less vigorous, put out by Ball Seed. It's a great salvia. In fact, if you see that little Ball Seed logo on it, I would look at it. Get yourself 10 or 15 of those, put them in there, and they'll produce that blue flower all summer long. So this is a lot of great new plants coming out on the market.
Well, for my herbs, yes. I tend to limit the fertilization to fish emulsion. Because I know I'm going to be eating it.
Yeah.
Is there any commonly available fertilizer that really results in vigorous growth that would not be a good idea on edibles?
Well, not good idea on edibles. That's a good idea, you know, the fish emulsion. But usually fish emulsion is not a culprit for bean transferring disease.
No, I'm not concerned. That's why I use it. Yeah. You know, an organic type item.
Yeah. Another organic would be black cow.
Black cow. Yeah,
do black that cow also. Is good because it's sterilized.
Yeah.
Another organic, which is pretty effective, is alfalfa pellets. Alfalfa pellets are very
good. That I have not done.
Yeah. Alfalfa pellets are very good on roses.
I don't eat my roses, though.
Pardon me?
I don't eat my roses.
Well, yeah, but, you know, some people do. Yeah, they're actually
rose hips.
Yeah, rose hips, yeah. Alfalfa pellets, fish emulsion. Also, you can use chicken feed as an organic fertilizer, too. It's another...
Well, that goes back to when I had chickens. That was the ultimate.
And then, of course, you know,
the chickens ate the bugs, and then they fertilized
the
chicken.
Black hen is another. You know, you can be black cow, black hen.
Oh, really? That's another type of manure?
Right, another type of manure. But those are your basic ones right there. And of course, you make your own compost pit.
I'm guessing that black cow is cow-based manure and black hen is chicken-based manure?
Yep, got it right.
Do you have to worry about the heat of the chicken manure?
No, well,
typically,
if chicken
droppings are very hot, not in temperature, but in
what they are hot in nitrogen. They are
nitrogen.
Hot, but it's all composted. So,
okay.
if you go down to a local, say, dairy and you can get some cow manure, that'd be perfect. But you want to let it, you know, compost. You just can't put it directly into your,
right.
And that'd be a big mistake because, if you use fresh cow manure on your garden, I mean, this full of seed, you know, from what the cow didn't digest in your garden will turn into a weed pit. Yeah, absolutely. So you want to make sure all those cow manure, chicken manure are well composted because they do have some pathogens in them. And so by heating up to 150 degrees, it's going to be, you know, sterilize it, you know, or cover it or put it in a plastic bag that will sterilize the manure and keep it from being damaged. Another thing, you know, people have been calling me about is how do I have a cut flower garden? And of course, roses are one of in fact, I was talking to a client the other day, are one of the best cut flowers. You know, you can go online and get these roses. They're grown particularly for floors that have that really strong stem.
Right.
They have that very long stem that you have to get them online. They're not available at your local garden center, but they'll ship them right to your bare root.
Have you ever seen these roses for sale, cut roses?
Right.
They have the 6-foot stems.
They're grown particularly hybridized for that stem. You know, yeah, they have that long stem. You don't see them in normal garden roses, but you can go online and purchase them, the florist roses, and they'll ship them to you. I've had a few myself, and they have a long, long stem. And they're a little more sensitive to, you know, having a good fertilizer amount in, you know, black spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little more difficult to keep going.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, it's okay by me. I'm just curious.
Have you planted any good plants out in your garden this year?
No.
None? You're done? What about your, have you got your citrus trees going?
No.
No.
That's my chore.
You've been on vacation.
It's my chore for the week.
Oh, really?
It's my chore for this weekend is to groom and fertilize the area around my 9 citrus trees. I have not yet done it.
I was talking to a client the other day about avocado. Yesterday.
I love avocado.
And they started some avocados. They want to plant their own avocados in the landscape. And says, well, you know, I'm going to have my avocados, you know, but I had to tell her the truth about the, you know, they're not going to get any fruit for at least around 7 years would be the minimum.
Little patience.
You know, remember that we had a guy call in on citrus tree, planted his citrus tree from seed.
Yeah, he was
on his 10th year and no fruit. I mean, he had to still go about another 2 or 3 more years.
Cool. Let's check in with Pedro and see if we can help him square away his front lawn. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Pedro.
Hey, good morning, Wally. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Hey, my front lawn looks really good, except for this one little brown patch, and I've been trying to put plugs in there, and then I replaced that with a couple of sods.
Uh-huh.
It's dying on me, you know. Somebody told me I have to dig and replace the soil underneath it.
That's probably not those spots in your yard that, you know, like oftentimes, you know, keep dying. They could be, you know, take all root rot. It could be Pythium or it could be nematodes. And so I have treated for take-all root rot sometimes in the that area, and nothing was effective. But so I've realized that it was nematodes. So when you replace, before you replace the grass this time, you want to dig down and out about a foot, dig out about a foot, foot and a half from the dead area outward, and remove all the soil around, maybe 2 feet deep, you know, and then put new soil in, and the problem will go away. It will go away.
Okay.
Because the nematodes only move about a quarter of an inch a year. You can have these little spots. And I've had, you know, because we, you know, we do lawn care, I've had many of these occurrences, you know, these areas in people's lawn where I've worked on, looked like it was doing all right. It was doing all right for a little bit, and then boom, dead again. You know, and so I got sick and tired of it. I said, okay, let's just remove the dirt, you know, and very effective. So when removing the dirt, it was definitely going to be nematodes.
Okay, all right. And I also have another question.
Sure.
If I can.
Sure.
I've been walking my dogs at night. Passing through one of the neighbors, I smell fragrance. I look around, you know, there's some trees in that particular neighborhood that emits some fragrance. I was wondering if
that,
you know what that,
that would be probably the trees that are blooming really have a strong fragrance would be citrus right now. Citrus is really blooming. Your citrus blooming?
They haven't been blooming. The azaleas are blooming. I've been getting that smell a lot.
Yeah, well, you can get azaleas, but azaleas won't there has to be a warm temperature for them to get the azaleas to emit fragrance. So that would be the only thing. I'm thinking citrus trees, kind of on the sweet citrusy smell. That would be what's blooming a lot now. And that fragrance travels a pretty good distance.
Yeah, neighbors probably are getting mad at me now, but I kind of tend to stay around there and the dogs do their business there, you know.
So you're exchanging one fragrance for the other. You're quite happy, Pedro.
It's organic fertilizer. You know what I mean? You're putting nitrogen back in. What you're taking out, you're putting right back in.
Oh, okay.
All right,
guys. Thank you so much for your service to the community. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much,
Pedro.
Hey, keep Larry laughing there, Wally.
Bye, sir.
Thank you.
You know, bringing in additional dirt reminds me. When I had my septic system removed, I was one of the, I guess you'd say, fortunate. Who knows? Unfortunate. Anyway, when JEA service became available at my house, we connected. And so they made the septic system go away.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought in fill dirt for that tank. And they brought in nasty fill dirt. I never had weeds in my yard. I had a gorgeous bed of pine straw. And they brought in that dirt. And I've been 3 years trying to kill those weeds.
I'll tell you.
I don't know where they got the dirt, but it's a reminder. Mm-hmm. When you're bringing in dirt, you've got to know the source and you've got to know
absolutely
that it's clean. And this was, somebody must have just scraped some other weed patch
right
and dumped it in my yard.
I've brought nutsedge. I borrowed some, I needed about maybe a wheelbarrow full of dirt from my, and my neighbor said he had some stacked in the back. So I got some and I brought nutsedge over from that. And that was next 4 years I was trying to get rid of that nuts edge, you know. It was a
beware free dirt.
Yes, beware free dirt.
Beware free dirt.
It's worth your while to go get some from Stone Plus or the, you know, down off of Phillips Highway.
It will cost you a fortune to correct the weed mess
and
if the wrong dirt's been
and
brought
a
in.
Ton of frustration. You know what I mean? A ton of frustration.
Absolutely.
Getting rid of those weeds.
It's 6:50 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Taking a break. Coming right back with your calls. Here is that number, 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. It's 6:55 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections along with Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. Let's check in with Wayne and see if we can help him with his garden. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Wayne.
Thank you. I've got a couple of quick questions for Larry.
Sure. I've
got a Norfolk pine. It's about 6 feet high and in a pot, a big pot.
Yes.
And it's starting to get brown on the leaves or this, the branches on the lower parts of the thing. Is that normal?
On the lower portion, they're only getting brown on the lower portion.
Yeah. Okay. The upper portions are nice and green inside where it's growing.
Yeah, they'll draw, you know, shade themselves. Is it in a shady area or partly shaded?
It's in sun. It's in full sun.
Then it's just normal that when they, you know, trees like a pine tree will lose its lower limbs. And, how come you haven't planted in the ground?
You just don't really have a good place to plant it, I thought. And,
They're a little, they're cold sensitive for sure, but I've seen some big ones planted out and they get huge. You know, well, not huge, but they get around, I've seen some around 30 feet. So they're a pretty decent looking tree, actually.
Yeah, I like it. As I say, I've had it for quite a few years, it's only about 6 feet high now. I don't know what, you think I should plant it, huh?
Yeah, plant it. Oh, what part of town do you live in?
In Mandarin, sandy part of Mandarin.
Yeah, it's pretty warm down there. You know, plant it on an air. If you can, plant it out of any northern wind, you know. Sometimes this in containers, you know, if the plant goes through any type of water stress during the season, it will damage the needles, and then they won't recover. That's another issue. Sometimes also will cause browning of the tips of the needles, just the tips exclusively, would be too much fertilizer or too much water. And basically the plant is trying to weep out the salt through its leaf system or the leaf out the excess of water, and that will sometimes damage the tips or the margins of the needle. Okay. But doesn't sound like it to me, because you only have them in a lower issue. You don't see them up on top.
No.
Really more uniform when you have that issue, so I think it's just shading itself out.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you ever so much. It is 6:58 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back.
Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. It is 7:08 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida. For those of you just joining us, in particular, our friends from all over the world visiting the area for the TPC tournament, welcome to the Home and Garden Show. The Home and Garden Show is heard every single Saturday from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on News 104.5 WOKV. The Home and Garden Show features Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden and me, Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry's role here on the show is to share his 20-plus years toiling in the soil, making things gorgeous in people's homes and gardens, landscape, hardscape, and all those good things. My role here on the show is to share more than 20 years in home inspecting and those things that we've discovered, so that the discoveries in your home might be fewer bad ones and more good ones. And we interact together, and especially with you, that's what makes it so much fun. The number to call, whether you are listening at News 104.5 WOKV in your radio or the WOKV app or any other streaming, in particular our hundreds and thousands of friends on Facebook who would watch our live video stream, which is really kind of fun. If you're curious, is he really the tall, tall man and those things? You can get a feel for that on the live stream at Home Pro Inspections on Facebook. So we'd love to have you join us. The number is 855-765-1045. Joining us now from the west side of Jacksonville, truly the third member of the triad here at the Home and Garden Show, Jack from the west side. Welcome, Jack.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. I'm so glad you all are ripped and ready and fresh and ready to go today.
We're ready.
So Wally said a little downwind of him there. Start off with Wally's statement a while ago about the fireplaces. I've got a gas log fireplace, Wally. It's got a cap on it inside, but I need to get some glass doors someplace, and I don't know where to get them made. They're an unusual size, 27 inches. Can't find them on big box stores. Where should I go to get them made, please?
You need to get them custom made? That's pretty rare, Jack.
Well, I can't find any that fit that fireplace. I don't know if it's a custom fireplace or not.
Send me a picture or three, and one or more of those pictures with the dimensions, if you know what I mean.
Yes, sir.
Email that right to me, and I'll get that over to the Friends of Chimney Champions and see if we can't research something for you. It'd be very rare you need anything custom. The firebox itself, it's a prefabricated box, right?
Yes, sir.
So take a peek and see if you can find anything in or around the box that looks like a label or a model number, a serial number, and I'll get that over to Chimney Champions, and we'll see if we can't find a source for you so you can get those direct. And if you need help installing, they'll carry it too. But the first order of business is finding it. I'll tell you another thing a lot of folks will do, Jack, is rather than have the doors, and it'll depend what it looks like in the picture, integral to the box is to mount doors on the front face, you know, where they'll attach to your brick or whatever's there. But send me the pictures, and we'll research it for you.
Okay, sir. I'll find a good picture I can chase in, and I will do it today sometime.
Okay.
Hi, I appreciate that. Also appreciate the information about the birds, but I don't think they can get in there, because I'm sure it's capped off on the top. I have never been up there to look.
Good. Good. What else you got, sir?
Well, okay, the other question is for the big man there. It's the planted an orange salmon grand flow rose yesterday, but it's got a root sticking out to the side that makes you want to spring up, and I'm not sure if I can cut that root off or not, Larry.
Yeah, cut it off.
No, it was a potted plant.
Yeah, this little root. Remove it. Be fine.
Because every time I step on it, where I patted it down with two before and everything, if I step on it, it makes the plant move, so I need to cut it off. But I want to be sure it's okay to cut it.
Yes, absolutely. And you just brought up a good point I always try to make with folks when they're planting plants. And it's, you know, when you're planting a plant, packing down needs to be only like in one area. You pack down the right. You pack down a little bit on one side, you pack down on the other side, a small segment, because packing down reduces the amount of oxygen that can get to the plant. Number two, the amount of water that percolates through the soil is controlled by how much packing you do around it, especially roses and other plants that we plant. You know what I mean? When I'm taking a new person on to work in landscape insulation, they want to pack and pound with their feet around the plant and try to get the dirt as solid as they can. That would be not the best thing to do. You want to have some areas that would hold it in place, maybe a 2-inch segment where you can pack that down really tight. Or if you're planting a big tree, maybe a foot segment, you can pack that down. But the rest of the area, you just want to backfill. Gently tap the soil in place. The fertilizer will get deeper penetration. You'll get deeper penetration on your watering. You're going to get more oxygen into the plant. The packing down strongly is not a good idea in any planting of any plant.
Okay, well, it's something else I learned from you guys, and that's another advantage of your show.
Well, thank you. It was a good point. I'm glad you brought it up, because this is the thing that people do all the time, and I just, I had never talked about it before.
Well, I'm guilty for a long time, but I'm certainly going to dig this one back up where I can clip that root further back, and then I'll put it down, and I only tamp one spot.
Yeah, you just tamp one spot to hold in place, and if you've already done it, you can take a shovel and just put it adjacent to the root ball and move the shovel back and forth. That will loosen up. Because the amount of water that's not going to be able to get through into that area, especially when you initially plant, you're cutting the water percolation time when you have it loosely, packed down. It just goes instantly into the soil all the way down to the root ball. All right?
Yes, sir. Like I say, I'm guilty. I'll learn something.
You got absolution. No problem.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And today and tomorrow is the last 2 days on early voting before the big day on Tuesday.
I voted Saturday. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you. Good for you. I appreciate it, man. It's just very few people. Have you got time for a story?
Sure.
About it? A couple couple of years ago, I was working as a deputy out at Palm Harbor, I think it was, there on Beach Boulevard Library, and I kept seeing a lot of people come in the library. You know, you try and talk them into coming to vote while you're here, and it only takes a few minutes, blah, blah, blah. Most of them weren't interested in coming in because it didn't matter what they voted for, didn't care, didn't know anything about it. Then there was a young lady standing over, maybe from Libya or Nigeria or someplace. She was standing there listening, and she come on in to vote. And when she came back out, Wally, she came to me and she said, "Sir," she said, "I just want to thank you for this opportunity to vote. My mother lives in a dictator country and she has no say-so. And now I am an American citizen and I have every right to speak my voice." She brought tears to my eyes.
That's a good thing, Jack.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Yeah, I'm an early voter. There are the many traditionalists who feel that they get the best energy or whatever from voting on Election Day. I'm an early voter. Mandarin Library is my spot. I can get over there, and it's always nice.
Well, I'll see if I can't get a sound over there sometime in the next go-around. Well, people want to wait till the last day, you know, on Tuesday. And it used to be picnic on the grounds day, and a whole crowd would gather, all the neighborhood, everybody knew each other. But the boundaries have changed, the people have moved, and it's just not like that anymore.
Let me ask you a question about early voting. You can early vote at any location. It doesn't need to be specifically assigned to you.
Well, that's a wonderful point. That's one of the excuses I get at the libraries. Oh, I'm not in my precinct. Boy, I got them now because doggone, I can explain to them any one of 20 sites in the city right now you can vote, and we'll spit out a ballot strictly for you, just your council territory.
While we're on that, Jack, so there's early voting today from what time till what time?
10 to 6 today and 10 to 6 tomorrow, and then Tuesday is 7 to 7. It's a long day.
And on Tuesday, you must vote at your assigned precinct. Am I correct on that?
Yes, you have to be at your assigned precinct.
Perfect.
7 to 7, and it's a 12-hour day for the voters and 14 hours for us.
All right, and I'll let you know next week how many winners I picked.
There you go. I appreciate it. Listen, I'll get that made. And seriously, fellas, Larry, you taught me something else I didn't know, and Wally, you always teach me something I don't know. So I appreciate it very much, guys.
Have a great day, Jack. Hug the wife.
Thank you, sir. Y'all too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Over to Avondale, checking in with Greg, see if we can help Greg with his roses. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Greg.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of questions. One is it too late to plant bulbs? I got a bunch of bulbs from Costco, and they're flowering type. I guess bulbs are flowering.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't know if it's too late to put them in the ground. And the other one is about roses. But
What kind of bulbs did you get? That's the most important thing, the type.
Daffodils. I'm drawing a blank now, but
Daffodils. You can plant them, but they're not going to, depend on the variety, they may produce a flower, they may not. Normally, when you buy them, they need 8 to 10 hours of chill in the, 8 to 10 days of chill in the refrigerator. Okay, maybe 14. But you can go ahead and plant them, and no telling what type they are. They could be the type that grow well in our area. There's some that will grow well on low chill hours. And there's some that won't.
Okay.
So give it a shot. I wouldn't worry about that at all. You know, bulbs are broken down into fall planting, winter planting, and summer bulbs. So I don't know the type you got. I wouldn't be that concerned about it. Just planting, following the depth, the right depth. The only thing about bulbs, you know, that I try to modify is the planting depth. Because, you know, when the people up north are more interested in protecting their bulbs from cold and other things, here we want to protect them from rotting. So I would shorten up the suggested depth maybe an inch or two, okay, and kind of more close to the surface. Because, you know, when it rains here, the ground gets very soggy, and that could cause them to rot. All right?
So the thing that I noticed on and I checked the back of the bags, and they are all for spring planting.
Yeah.
Bulbs that I should be okay with that, or should
You got them. You know, might as well plant them. They may not flower. They may, you know, it depends on, you know, like I say, some of the bulbs need a chilling period in your refrigerator to get them to flower successfully. And I don't know the exact variety of daffodils. Some daffodils do well here. Jonquils will do well here. That's the narcissus, you know, that you get often at Christmas time, and they'll do well. And you know, I've had some narcissus in my landscape over 20-something years, and they're still flowering. They're 20-year-old narcissus, and I plant them they're planted in the shade under the deciduous tree. You know, so you know that they've done extremely well.
That sounds like a country song. So,
oh yeah,
yeah. Plant me in the shade of a deciduous tree.
Okay, we'll plant you 6 foot. If I'm sure.
So I have a question about roses. Can you take that real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Real quick.
Okay, so I had roses that I planted that came. They were actually in a bag. They weren't. There was some soil around them.
Yeah, bare root.
And, okay, so they're called bare root. So I put those in some large urns that we have around the house.
Yes.
On the outside of the house, and I noticed. You know, now I look at them almost every day like a child, right, to see when that first bloom or bud shows. But anyways, I noticed that one of the leaves turned white. Yeah, the tip of the leaf turned white. Is that a concern?
No, I think it's just damage when it was when you were planting it, you know, just damage. I wouldn't really worry about it. As long as you don't have any insects underneath it, I think you're in great shape. Remember, they need, when you plant a bare root, they need lots of fertilizer. So Miracle-Gro Rose Fertilizer and Fish Emulsion. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, right. Greg. 7:21 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right back to your calls. 855-765-1045. I can see you on the Facebook stream. I see Kristen, I see Rose, I see, my gracious, there's Joni and Tim and Danielle and Al. 855-765-1045. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. 728 here at News 104.5. Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. Enjoying the day together, rolling out to Pontevedra. See if we can help Carol to get her grass all squared away. Welcome, Carol.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm having a TPC kind of day. How about you?
As am I. Just not looking forward to sitting in the traffic to get there.
Yeah, I Ubered yesterday.
Did that help?
I bummed a ride from TPC to the gate station, and I Ubered home from the gate station.
I just live on Solano Road, like a mile and a half, and it took me 30 minutes to go a mile and a half. Yeah, that was fun.
What's up with the grass? I only got about a minute. See if we can help.
I just want to know, do you have to cut it down? Like in February, you go around and you see all the grass, the muley grass.
Muley grass, yeah. It's best to cut it down because the leaves, you know, some of those 2 or 3 year old leaves start to look really tattered. And you'll start getting that brown straw in the middle of the grass. Or if you wanted to, you could, you know, take your hand and pull through it and remove all the old dead leaves. That would be that, but that's time consuming. Cutting it down is always better for a neater look.
Yeah, I just don't like the looks of it until what? Like May, it starts to look normal again.
Yeah. Well, do you fertilize yours?
I just planted it.
Okay. Well, if you cut it down and immediately fertilize it with put some nitrogen on it, it will respond immediately. It comes back further.
Oh, okay.
Stronger. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
That works. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Carol. Have a beautiful day. And we really welcome everyone who is attending for TPC. We've got, 100 extra thousand people floating around town in Pontevedra, so we're glad you're here and happy you're listening to the Home and Garden Show. It's 7:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Show 7:37 here in glorious Jacksonville, Florida, welcoming all of our guests from all over the world who are attending TPC. Great to have you. While you're here, buy a home.
Call couple, buy a couple.
So that Larry can landscape it and HomePro Inspections can inspect it. That'd be a glorious thing. We'd be grateful for that. We would love to have you join us. The number is 855-765-1045. Got to give a shout out to our friend Mark Kinder from Affordable Water. What I love about Affordable Water is this.
It tastes good.
They are not truly a sales organization. They are truly a water quality improvement organization. And how that comes to be is really by a consultative approach to making sure your water becomes the water that you dream of in an affordable way. So they're called Affordable Water. I'm a nut for definitive sources of information. So I'm going to give you some facts I got from Affordable Water and then tell you the real reference source. So according to the U.S. Geologic Survey, 85% of the United States has hard water. Well, you can be sure you and I have hard water.
Oh, yeah, we have some very hard water.
So the question becomes, what is hard water? Hard water is caused by excessive levels of calcium and or magnesium. So that's what that is. And this is great. Do you know where the term hard water comes from?
Mm.
Okay. You spend more time with Affordable Water, you'd know this.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier generations coined the phrase hard water because it made cleaning difficult. Here's what we know. If you have hard water, you get soap scum, you know, in your tub, your dishes get spotty, you get all the funk on your faucets and whatnot. It's hard to clean.
Okay.
That's why it's called hard water.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
That's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
So that's from the U.S. Geologic Survey. Thank you, Mark Kinder, for getting me on all this correct information. The U.S. Department of the Interior classifies hardness on the concentration of grains per gallon of calcium or magnesium. So this is why I'm so impressed with Mark and his team. It's a consultative process, not a bunch of scary nonsense. It's really pretty, pretty darn cool. So to put this in perspective, a typical aspirin equals about 5 grains of material. If the aspirin were dissolved in a gallon of water, that's one aspirin, it would add 5 grams per gallon of aspirin to the water. There you go. And that would actually qualify as moderately hard. So the Department of the Interior is who determines what's soft, what's slightly hard, moderately
that's
hard.
That's a lot of stuff dissolved.
Yeah. And an Alka-Seltzer is sort of, that's basically aspirin with bubbles.
Right.
So if you dropped an Alka-Seltzer in a cup, That would be the granular consistency.
I think ours are very hard. Many areas very hard.
Many, yeah. Here's another truth.
Right.
Many people selling various pieces of water treatment equipment will try to make you think, which is lying, that it's unhealthy to drink hard water.
Right.
Not true.
Right.
The hardness is calcium and magnesium. Not a problem. Many people take supplements for calcium and magnesium every day.
Yeah.
So the issue isn't of health as it relates to hardness. It says right here, this is the U.S. Department of the Interior. While hard water is not unhealthy, it does cause other problems.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Soap scum. We talked about that. And
scale all over your faucets.
Yep.
Premature failure of your water heater.
Yep. And that's actually
dishwasher.
Here, you mentioned the water heater.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the Department of the Interior. This is their research. It was a study of water heaters. We actually talked about this once before. We had a customer call. Mm-hmm. Study of water heater efficiency and longevity. 1981 survey conducted by New Mexico State University. Blah, blah, blah. Hard water decreases the efficiency of your water heater by as much as 29%.
Wow, that's a huge amount.
Yeah, and that's the second largest consumer of electric. So I could go on and on. I'll save some for another day. But what's so important to me is that your water is water that's safe and sweet and glorious and that you enjoy it and that you make the decision to modify or improve your water based on expertise, not scary, goofy sales.
Right.
So that's why I trust Mark Kinder, his team at Affordable Water, affordablewaterjacks.com.
And they service everything they sell.
This is true. They service
even
my
things
equipment.
They don't. Okay.
Yeah, I trust them. That's all that really matters. All righty. Checking in with our good friend Margie from Mandarin, who is the Orchid Princess.
Margie.
That's very sweet. Hi, boys. How are you today?
I am great, except my heart is broken.
You're not going to be able to come because you're at the TPC? Is that what you're telling
me? No, I was out there yesterday. I got my TPC fix. I'm all done. My heart is broken because, Margie, you checked in with us last Saturday from 15 miles offshore while fishing, and one of two things happened. You caught nothing or you chose not to share.
No, we caught a whole bunch of black sea bass, but they were all too small. And then the black sea bass stopped biting, and we caught two sheep's head, but they were not very big, so we didn't win.
Oh, no.
Okay. So no fish for me is what you're saying.
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
No, in the tournament, we have a fish fry afterwards. So all the fish that we catch in the tournament, they go to the fish fry.
Didn't get invited to that either. All right.
You're just outside the loop, Wally.
Let's get back to the Orchid Society. Give us the lowdown. The Orchid Show is today and tomorrow at the Garden Club of Jacksonville, yes?
Yes, you are correct. And it is free, parking and free entrance. pardon me. It's from 10 to 6 today, 10 to 4 tomorrow. And if you like the crowds, come early in the morning. If you don't like the crowds, come later in the afternoon.
Excellent.
Okay.
And there'll be things for sale at every price point, correct?
Oh, yes. There's orchids of all shapes and sizes and odors. Some smell wonderful, wonderful perfumey, and others. There is one that is named Bulbophyllum something something priviata, which, if that anybody can figure that out, means it smells like a outside toilet. And there is a whole class of orchids, Bulbophyllums, that smell horrible. But the flowers are really cool, and a lot of people like the flowers. So it's kind of an interesting thing, but there are lots of beautiful smelling flowers.
Are the flies the pollinator for those orchids?
Yes, they are. Yeah. There are flies. It attracts flies.
So as a home inspector, you caught my attention, Margie. Take me back to the toilet odor. It smelled like an outside toilet as opposed to an inside toilet.
Well, hopefully your inside toilet doesn't
flushes.
Smell.
Flushes. That's the answer to the plumbing supply. Yeah,
I will share with you, as a professional toilet inspector, the nastiest toilets I've ever smelled are poorly maintained boat toilets.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because in
but
a...
I'll tell
in
you
a,
what.
Go ahead.
These particular orchids smell worse than that. You don't want to be closed up in a car. No.
Well, here's
some smell like dead meat. Some smell like toilets.
Yeah, there's a lot of flowers that have
quite a sniffer
nasty
you got there,
smell to them. That aromes and other ones. Yeah.
Here's why boat toilets smell worse when not properly maintained. House toilets. Your house toilet uses clean fresh water. The boat toilets typically extract water from the river, the ocean, or whatever, so it's got a lot of other stuff already in it.
Bacteria.
Yeah. The other thing that makes it even worse, depending on the boat, if the boat is not kept air-conditioned, it may be 100, 110 degrees inside there. So you got a little bit of poo, a little bit of pee, the nutrients from the river, and then you shake and bake it.
Oh, my gosh.
And it just kind of sits there and gets nasty.
That's why I don't own a boat.
I can relate to that, owning a boat, yes.
Yeah, well, I know you're a boat girl as well as an orchid girl. But
well, I'm going to be down there. I'm going to come to take a look.
You just took me down the rabbit hole.
Ask for me, guys.
All right.
Excellent. You'll be
I'll
there
be
both
here
days,
all day.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
All and right, as a matter of fact, I'm running in because we are doing the judging, so I got to go.
All right.
Thanks. Thanks
Have
for the
Have a beautiful
call.
Day, Marge. On just to recap that, because we got diverted on the toilets, the Jacksonville Orchid Society, the Orchid Show, there is no entry, there's no cost to go into it. It's at the Garden Club of Jacksonville, which is right down from the Comer Museum, right near RAM. It's on that same street right there. It's easy to find. Parking's free also. 10 till 6 today, 10 till 4 tomorrow. And there are really nice people there, too. I've been
Bring your wallet. There are some good deals.
They do have some good deals. They also have things that are unbelievably expensive.
So the
frugal guy can get out of there with a $10 or $20 orchid, and then the connoisseur of orchideers, you may drop
a couple hundred.
Big bucks. anytime during this entire week, if you get the sudden desire to have assistance with your landscape, everything from design, you know, design a great plan. You can execute it yourself or have pieces of it done. Do it in stages, driveways, landscape, hardscape. Larry'sGarden.com. That is the place to go. The blog, the video. You can see past projects. Get some ideas that may stimulate your next activity. Then if you would like to have Larry consult directly with you, either to in the planning phase or the execution phase, all you need to do is give him a call. Here is that phone number, 346-1970. If you're outside the immediate Jacksonville area, please add the area code 904-346-1970. This particular weekend, the guess is there will be over 600 contracts written for homes for sale. When that home contract has been accepted, you need to immediately make contact with Home Pro Inspections. The website is GoHomePro.com. Here is the reason why. Over 25 years experience, over 25,000 homes inspected here in the area, and over $25,000 in included after inspection warranty and protection, including a 5-year roof protection plan, a 6-month structural warranty, the sewer guard warranty for your sewer lines. There is not available any higher level of protection in America. When you compare, you always make the right choice. Here is the phone number for Home Pro Inspections, 268-8211. If you're outside the immediate Jacksonville area, that's no problem. We've got 10 inspectors up as far as Brunswick, Georgia, down through Daytona. Basically, if you hear us on radio, we can serve you. 904-268-8211. It's 7:50 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right back to you for the final segment of the show. If you'd like to check in and be our parting guest, we'd love to have you at 855-765-1045. Be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 7:56. Beautiful Saturday morning. This is the final segment of the Home and Garden Show. We are grateful, 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 Larry and I, for your tremendous support of the Home and Garden Show, for your tremendous support of Larry's Garden, and your tremendous support of Home Pro Inspections. Thought I'd share a fun fact with you as we close out over these next couple of minutes. According to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, 51% of all homes in America have one or more safety recalled items in their home across all categories. So that would include, clothing that's flammable and tools that are dangerous, all that. 51%. So half of the homes have one that are recalled specifically.
Well, where do I find out which ones are
recalled? Well, let me share this with you. 19% of houses in America, which is one out of five, have a recalled appliance presently functioning in the home, which statistically either you or I, I know it's not me. It's probably you. Have a recalled appliance. When appliances are recalled by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, they are not recalled because they don't work well or they do a crappy job. It's always safety.
Right.
And in home appliance, that is almost always either shock hazard or fire hazard.
Wow.
So there is a
1 in 5 chance you have one of those units.
Yeah, there's a process called recall check. We use it at Home Pro Inspections. There's about 5,000 inspection companies across the country that use it. And what it does, you take the smartphone and you capture all of the data of every appliance label.
Right.
It then goes and scrubs it the database and says, hey, Larry, your dishwasher is under recall, and it'll give you the contact information to have it repaired, replaced, or get a complete refund. One or the other. Here's the dangers.
I like a complete refund.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a change out. Now, things are always changing in the recall universe, right? There's new things added every day. You never know when it is. And then every single month, recall check rescrubs the database and sends you an email that says, hey, Larry, all your appliances are still good in your home. You know, that's good to go. Or it says, oops, since last we spoke,
we found another one.
Found another one. Or another one was put under the database. So you know that every month till the rest of time.
Because they don't know, you know, when you buy a car, they know who the owner is.
Exactly.
Right.
The appliance people don't know. So here's a thought to leave you with. One out of five of you have a dangerous appliance operating in your house and you don't know. Recall Check can solve that. 5,000 users across the country. Home and Pro Inspections is one of them. So be sure to open the email that comes from Recall Check so you can get something for free. It's 7:59. You have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
And especially my TPC drivers, not on the course, but going to the course, use
your turn signal.
Turn signal. Thank you so much.